archive. The fire had gutted most of the North Wing in 1957, yet the door to the archive stood untouched. Iron and oak sealed like a sarcophagus beneath the ruins. Charred beams collapsed like broken ribs around it, but the door remained intact, silent, and sealed. For decades, it had been locked, forgotten. Not even maintenance crews ventured near after the incident. The land the ruined wing stands on must be worth millions, but no one has ever attempted to redevelop it. It sits fenced off, away from the rest of the campus grounds, untouched and unvisited, even by drunk college students looking for an adventure or desperate souls seeking shelter. That is, until now. My name is Elias Hartley. I teach, or used to teach, in the Department of Comparative Religion at Braxton University. My office overlooked the courtyard where ivy strangled the windows, and statues of forgotten benefactors loomed over the lawn like watchful sentries. My 10-year review was a formality, and not the good kind. The sort where people nod sympathetically while already pushing your files into the trash. I was drifting, professionally and personally, grading sophomore essays on the symbolism of flood myths while circling the drain of apathy and terminal boredom. Most days felt like the same slide into irrelevance, the slow erosion of academic passion. I first heard about the archive during an alumni mixture I had no real business attending. A retired librarian, drunk on sherry and nostalgia, cornered me by the refreshments and told me a story. He whispered of an archive in the North Wing that preempted thought. Of ink that bled in patterns, of pages that turned their own accord.
"It was real,"
he said, his eyes watery and unfocused.
"It knew things before I did. It remembered, but differently. It wasn't just books down there. It was something older. Something watching."
At the time, I dismissed it as eccentric rambling. The ramblings of a man who had spent too many decades among dust and silence, and watched too many bad horror movies. Not long afterwards, word spread that the wing was finally being redeveloped. This in itself was momentous. The ruins had been untouched for almost 70 years, but it seemed that finally, the call of progress had to be answered. The university would be using the renovated ground for a new data center. Progress, indeed. When renovations began in the North Wing, and the construction crew unearthed a sealed stairwell beneath what remained of the old theology hall, the memory of the old librarian returned to me with the sharpness of a paper cut. Pleading academic interest and a desire to catalog any valuable items or books that may have been laying within, I requested permission to visit the unearthed stairwell. The university granted me limited access. "Catalog whatever you find," the dean had said.
"And be quick, please. We could probably give you a week, but can't afford to wait much longer before starting work on the new data center."
I jumped at the opportunity. If the archive was real, if there was anything truly unique, it might be my salvation. Something publishable,
something extraordinary. Something to prove I was more than a footnote, more than a failed scholar buried under dust and disappointment. I brought notebooks, a flashlight, gloves, and my grandfather's old tape recorder. A little poetic flourish for the occasion. The stairwell was narrow and steep, carved into stone that felt older than the rest of the building. Every step down echoed in my chest like a heartbeat. The silence grew heavier the deeper I went. Not musty, as one might expect, but unnaturally still, like a held breath. As if the place was listening. I switched on the flashlight and swept it around the room in a broad arc. The archive was a single circular room. Books lined the curved walls like vertebrae, reaching two stories high into shadows. A domed ceiling loomed overhead, painted with a large, crude eye in an Art Deco style. I dismissed it immediately. It had probably once been beautiful and been intended to represent knowledge or expanded vision and awareness. To me, in this deep room, I felt like it was watching me. Day 1, July 3rd. Initial entry. No visible fire damage to the archive. Books intact, air dry. Too dry. Having wandered the shelves for some time, I reached out for an eye-catching volume bound in faded green leather, coughing as dust stirred in the air. Its title was in Latin. De membris umbrea. About the members of the shadow. A little much, maybe. It sounded like a lurid gothic novel. I opened it. The pages were blank. Odd. I picked up another. The shaping script. This one held writing, but not printed. Handwritten. Yet so precise it looked etched. Each letter was immaculate. And then something impossible happened. Text appeared on the page, following as if written by an elegant hand wielding a fountain pen. The man stepped into the archive. He coughed from the dust. He reached for a green-bound volume, found it empty. Picked up another, began to read. I blinked and said aloud, "What?" The next lines were already written. He spoke aloud, confusion rising. He did not yet realize he was being watched. I dropped the book. It landed, spine up. The pages twitching slightly, as if breathing. I stumbled back, hit stop on the recorder, and retreated back up the staircase. That night, nursing a stiff drink and questioning the reality of my experience, I played the tape back in my office. Mostly static, until I heard it. A second voice, faint, layered beneath mine, mimicking me. What? Followed by a whisper, slightly overlapped. What? A fractured echo? Yet, not mine. Day 2. Perhaps against my better judgment, I returned. This time, adrenaline was sharp in my veins. I wore gloves and a dust mask. I told myself that my encounter yesterday was down to mold spores.
but the air had been so dry.
A prank?
But by whom? No one else had access. But I knew I was lying to myself. I needed to know. But the green book was gone. In its place, a thick black tome with no title inside. Day 2. He returned, despite the warning. The archive watched him, now closer. His name is Elias Hartley, age 57. He had come for knowledge, and it had already begun to write him in. I flipped further. He panicked at what he read, but he would not leave. Not yet. It would tempt him with a final entry. The archivist was patient. He would be rewritten. I slammed the book shut and stumbled backward. Then, footsteps from the upper stacks.
Hello?
I called. No answer. Just the shuffling of pages and displaced air. But then I shone my flashlight upward towards the staircase and saw him. Myself. Same coat, same face. Watching. Still. I blinked, and he was gone. Day 3. Last night I dreamt of ink pouring from my mouth. Woke with blood in my mouth. I had bitten my tongue in my sleep, badly. I had never done that before. The university left a voicemail.
Hello, Elias. Sorry to chase you, but we need those catalog entries. We're not sure we could give you that full week after all.
The message continued, but I hung up and didn't respond. I would go back down again, and this time, I'd bring a lighter. I never liked destroying books, but I knew that if that book was still there, and that if this was all real, I had to burn that book. Part of me felt insane as I put the lighter into my pocket, but I carried on regardless. I returned to the staircase and, as I re-entered the room, I saw that a desk now stood in the center of it. It hadn't been there before. A lamp glowed dimly on the desk, a power cord stretching off somewhere into the darkness. On the desk, a manuscript, newly bound. The title. The archive that... Before I could so much as read the title, my head began to swim, my vision blurred, and I collapsed into the chair in front of the desk. Day 4. I woke up, sat at the desk. I'd been in an almost deadly sleep, unspeakably deep and dreamless. Groggily, my eyes adjusted. I stared down at the manuscript and, carefully, as though touching the leaves of a stinging nettle, I began to leaf through the pages. They were covered in handwritten script. They described me, my failing career, my apathy, and then, more recently, my entry into this long-forgotten wing, my confusion, the lighter in my pocket. And then I read the most recent line. He would try to speak Latin to it, thinking the language might grant him access. He would fail. The archive prefers sincerity. I had, as far as I could remember, never attempted to speak Latin to anyone. And grant me access to what? I began to have the unpleasant feeling that the manuscript was no longer limiting itself to what had been, but was now writing about things to come. Latin be damned. I took the lighter from my pocket, flicked it open. Holding the manuscript in one hand, I held the lighter in its corner. I think I may have been smiling maniacally. From the highest stack, from deep within the room, came a sound like quills scratching slate. Snapping the lighter closed, I switched on the flashlight and swept it across the room before I saw them. Figures hunched over their own arms, etching text into skin. They looked up in unison. They all had my face. My face. My face. I fled back up the spiral, the scratching sound following me as I ran, the manuscript forgotten. Day 5. I awoke, sat at the desk once again. So I hadn't left after all, it seemed. Why? Writing scrawled along my forearms. The ink was fresh. The flesh on my arms red and stinging where the writing had been scrawled, almost tattooed into my skin. This vessel grows aware. This is rare. Perhaps promising. Perhaps flawed. The desk had split. Beneath it, a stairwell leading further down. It hadn't been there before. The void called to me. I could feel my mind fraying, my sense leaving me. It was a strange feeling to lose one's mind, to be aware that it was happening, but incapable of stopping it. At the bottom of this new stairwell, water, dark, still, ink pooled at the edges. In the center of the black pool stood a child. Me. My childhood self, holding De Membris Umbrae. He opened his mouth. His voice came out.
Why did you let yourself be written?
Day 6. I have labeled this entry Day 6. In truth, I have no idea how much time has passed. I no longer sleep. I don't need to. Something watches me from the ceiling of the dome. I think it's the eye. I looked up for too long once. The painted eye blinked. It is a lonesome thing, and I hate it. There are now 7 Eliases in the room, or more, it's hard to tell. They don't all walk, and some hide from me, peering out from behind bookcases and hiding when they realized I've noticed them. Some crawl on all fours. One is stitched through its skin into spines of books. He cannot move. All he does is blink and weep. I avoid him. I'm writing this entry because a new book appeared on the shelves today. Unfinished Revisions. I can't say I'm a fan. Each page shows a version of me dying. One burns. One drowns in ink. One claws the eye from the ceiling and it's unmade. Day 7. The flesh of my chest hurts. Tearing my shirt open, I see with despair that there is new writing gouged into my skin. I have no way of reading it. No mirror. So I go back down to the pool where I saw child me, and use its reflection to read this new inscription. This Elias was final.
This Elias broke well. This Elias listened. I no longer question this. I am resigning to whatever fate awaits me. As the message says, I am broken. I climb the stairs again and find that I am no longer needing the flashlight. The dome has opened. Ink rains from above. I am ready. Day unknown. I realized some time ago that time doesn't move here, but the books do. They shelf themselves, write themselves. I see echoes of myself in the stacks, trailing ink across their, my arms, mumbling in endless loops. Some write with their fingers, some bleed onto the pages. I write now on a brand new manuscript, leaning on a portion of a sundered desk. Not from choice. My fingers, holding a tattered quill, move with a rhythm that's not my own. The archive likes rhythm. The archive likes patterns. And it edits relentlessly. I understand it finally. The archive doesn't just record. It replaces. My reality is one draft among many. And I was rewritten from the moment I opened that door. Or perhaps before. The manuscript is nearly done. I feel it. Soon, I will be shelved. Another Elias will descend the stairs. He will find the eye, the books. He will think himself unique. The archive always begins with the same line. July 3rd, initial entry. No visible fire damage. Books intact. Air dry. Too dry.